This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
You know how we have to start. Are you ready? You can say it with me. Happy almost Friday. It's that time of the week again. It feels like it came quickly when we get to this point, and I didn't get done half of what I needed to get done this week. It doesn't feel like it moves that quickly when you're in the middle of it. But we're here. We've got enough to get us through, not just 4 hours, probably 8 hours. No, don't get any funny ideas. I'm not sticking around for 8 hours. Jay would defect. He would start a coup and would jump ship. He'd be out defecting to another country or another radio network if we try to do 8 hours. But even me, even though I do love to talk, even though I talk way too much, just ask the Hubs, we're not doing 8 hours. However, we do have more than enough to get us through the next four. And if you don't already feel it, the madness is encroaching. It's encroaching. It's here. We've already got one major upset in the ACC, though I don't think we're talking about a team that has lost a whole lot. Maybe a couple of lines in March Madness with Selection Show on Sunday. Really interesting couple of finishes in these earlier rounds of the Power Five conference tournaments, which we're not going to break down every single one of them, only to say that, yeah, these all have implications for what's to come on Sunday. And the selection committee is largely doing what most fans do over the next few days, immersing in basketball, watching every bit of basketball there is, getting all the stats, getting all the various different analytics they consider, and some of that has to do with injuries, and some of it has to do with eye test, and some of it has to do with runs, and then you've got your different level of quality wins and quality losses. We'll have Jerry Palm with us in studio come Sunday night following the big reveal of the bracket of 68, and we can go through some of the nuances there. But this is also where, so forget that part of it, this is also where teams either tune up, or if they don't play well and they get ousted in the conference tournament, maybe they go into the NCAA tournament not feeling their most confident, not playing their best basketball. And while that's not necessarily a nail in the coffin, it doesn't help. It doesn't help your locker room mentality. It doesn't help how you go in terms of momentum, though momentum is fleeting in sports and they can grab it right back. But it does not help when you're ousted in a manner that you know you kind of didn't take it as seriously as you needed to, or a team with more intensity and more energy came in and stole it from you. I mean, that's what happens. And if it's me, I'm thinking, all right, we do that again in our next game, and we'll be out before we barely break a sweat in this NCAA tournament. Looking at you, Duke. So we're going to talk about the ACC tournament, to be sure. We'll be joined by Mike Barber of the Richmond Times-Dispatch, covering this tournament in Washington, D.C. UNC is a team on a mission, but believe it or not, hasn't won this tournament in years. Won't get North Carolina and Duke for the third time this season, at least not in ACC play. We'll see how it shakes out moving forward. But yeah, you wonder, has Duke done some damage to its line or to its position in the NCAA tournament? And what does it mean moving forward? One player after the game and the loss against NC State, who's trying to play its way in right now, one of the Blue Devils said, hey, this is not our goal. We didn't come this far to win a conference championship. And while that's true, getting ousted in the quarterfinals, so your last game was against North Carolina, you lost. Your game against NC State in the quarterfinals of the ACC tournament, that's a loss. That's not how you want to go into March Madness. And then there's the story of Virginia. Plus, keeping our eyes on UConn as the defending champions. There's a lot to talk about. Looking forward to it. Not just college hoops. Mix in a little bit of the NBA. Who is going to step up and battle Boston? I asked that question at the All-Star break. In the East, at least right now, the answer is no one. Even if the Milwaukee Bucks are playing better, and they are, even if you're seeing a bunch of other teams maybe find some momentum, figure out who they are as they head into what is really the stretch run. I know I've been calling it that, but we're in the final month of the NBA regular season. And so as the battle continues in the West, not just for the top seed, but for position to stay out of that 7-10 tournament in the East, they're all gunning for second place. I don't know what the Celtics' magic number is, but trust me, it doesn't matter. They're good. And right now, sitting on a 9.5 game lead over the Bucks in the East. But also, congratulations to the Celtics as they become the first team to clinch a playoff spot. All right. It's March 15th. It's not even St. Patrick's Day, and they've already clinched a playoff spot. The magic number is 7. Producer Jay tells me for the top seed.
For the top seed in the East, it's 7.
They can do that before we get to the Sweet 16. Oh my gosh. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on our Facebook page, also on Twitter, After Hours CBS. If you did not take our St. Patrick's Day poll, we're kind of proud of this one. It's a little off the beaten path. We want to know, what's the greater attraction? What's the bigger draw on Sunday? Is it Selection Show or is it St. Patty's Day? Some of your answers have cracked me up. Some of you are very excited about your creative license to drink beer and eat a bunch of Irish food on Sunday. Obviously not mutually exclusive. You could do both Selection Show and your Irish food and drink. But I don't know. You St. Patty's Day revelers, you get pretty intense about what's coming up on Sunday. All I know is that if you wear green to Krispy Kreme, you get a free donut. I'm not really sure where the closest Krispy Kreme is to my house, but I know that my husband mentioned it. But he got it wrong. He said something about getting a donut with, he said green donut. No, it's not a green donut. You wear green and you get a free donut. I don't want a green donut, but I think Dunkin' Donuts, actually, they don't call themselves Dunkin' Donuts anymore. They just call themselves Dunkin' because that's so much cooler. Dunkin' does green donuts, though. Jay, would you eat a green donut? What if it was a pistachio, an avocado donut?
Oh, yeah, I mean more pistachio, I think.
A pistachio donut?
I like pistachio.
Like, but in a donut?
No. Well, I guess it would be like maybe some ice cream on it.
Do you know what we missed on Thursday? We did not take advantage of it. At least I didn't take advantage of it. I suppose there's still time. Are you ready? National Chip Day.
Chip Day?
Chip Day Not chip and dip day, just chip day.
Just any sort of chip?
Any sort of chip.
Wow.
What's your favorite chip?
My favorite chip? I like Cape Cod chips.
Ooh, those are really good.
Yeah.
Wait, the kettle chips?
The kettle chips. Anything like the kettle chips are what I like, yeah.
I'm with you there. Then how come you don't ever get those here when you're looking for a snack out of the vending machine?
Well, I want to, but they have the Miss Vicky's here, which are pretty good kettle chips, I've learned. And I like the sea salt ones, but they haven't restocked those in about a month and a half. So.
Seriously, what's going on with our vending machines?
You guys slacking.
There are more empty racks than there are racks with actual snacks in them. Racks with snacks. Ooh, I like that. We need that as a hashtag. We have no racks with snacks.
I like it.
Okay, so it's probably too late now, of course. But if we could order any chip, you would go Cape Cod kettle chips.
I think so. Can't go wrong.
You know that I've stopped. This is bad, actually. I've stopped buying the brand name chips unless I find them on sale. Did you know you... Remember, I'm sure, my favorite type of chip of all time.
Lime Tostitos.
Well, hint of lime.
Yes.
Yes, Tostitos, hint of lime. That particular line, not lime, that particular line from Tostitos, it now costs you almost $5 a bag.
Yeah, I believe
it. It's insane. I cannot, as much as I love the chips, unless they're on sale, I cannot pay $5 for a bag of chips.
So I played cards with some friends a few weekends ago, and I stopped at the store and got some Doritos to bring over on the way. Normal, regular size bag of just nacho
but
cheese
Cool
Doritos.
Ranch? Oh, nacho cheese. Okay.
I should have got the Cool Ranch, but they were nacho cheese. $6.29 they cost, I think. So yeah, the
what?
Chip market is
Wait,
exploding.
Did you go to the gas station again?
No, I went to whatever, the Super Stop and Stop. ShopRite, whatever it is.
Wait, what do you call it?
Shop and Stop, whatever the supermarket by me is.
Shop and Stop?
I don't know.
Jay, do you shop first or stop first?
You shop, drop, and roll, and then you get out of there.
Gotcha. Okay, well, then call it whatever you like. Shop and Stop. That's perfect. For you shop first, and then you stop.
Yeah, then you stop, look around. Wait, do I have everything? And then you shop a little more.
And it was $6.29 a bag, and
$6.29
you paid that much?
I did.
Wow. So I have gone the generic chip route for now. These are the Walmart brand. I think it's Great Value, right? Isn't that the Walmart brand?
So.
And they are delicious. They are the Cantina chips, and they're thin and crispy. Always look for the ones that are labeled thin and crispy. But they're restaurant-style Cantina chips, and they are amazing. So as much as I miss my Tostitos hint of lime... I just can't. I can't go broke over chips. They're not even really that good for me. So
no,
I can't.
No, yeah.
I can't go broke over chips.
They hurt your wallet and your body, actually.
Well, they are corn chips, so they're not flour. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if you're eating corn chips, they're a little less so. But yeah, as much as I do love them, I cannot justify feeding my habit at $5 a bag.
It's just the price of all food. I saw some thing where paying more for food than any American has in the last 30 years. Like, by a lot, significantly higher. I don't know.
What do they expect us to do? Not eat?
That's exactly it. They got us.
It's a little bit of a sham, kind of like when you get married. Trust me, when you get married, here's the sad truth about it. Companies prey on couples and their families who want the perfect day. I wanted the perfect day. I now know there's no such thing. And the reason I know that is because I can only control what I do. I can't control what all the other people do. And if they don't care about what they're doing and don't care about doing a good job, there is absolutely nothing I can do about it.
Yeah.
So it was a really tough lesson, or not a tough lesson. It was a very poignant, powerful, impactful lesson on... I cannot be a control freak because I can only control me. I cannot control other people and if they choose to do what they choose to do. Anyway, back to the whole thing about the wedding is you want it to be perfect. Couples have stars in their eyes. They want it to be perfect. Even Bob and I, who were attempting to save money, we actually cut a bunch of things that a lot of people would normally do. We went with silk flowers. We did our own invitations. We got married on a Sunday, an NFL Sunday, as a matter of fact, right? So we did all these things. We did small, doesn't matter. There are so many vendors out there who jack up prices. They upcharge you because they know that couples, a lot of couples will pay anything for what they think is the perfect day.
Right.
Well, that's happening with food now. These are very popular foods and they're upcharging us because they know we can't live without eating. That's just wrong. It's wrong.
You know what else? Portion sizes are getting
smaller.
Did you
just say, do you know what else?
Yeah.
What else?
The portion sizes are getting smaller.
Well, if you buy a gallon of milk, it's still a gallon of milk.
Well, not a gallon of milk, of course, but like the chips, I'm telling you, get a bag from like circa.
I think the bags are smaller.
And from
circa.
Now.
You just dropped a circa.
Yeah.
We went from else to circa.
That's very versatile.
We went from Shop and Stop to.
What's the name of the store?
Shop and Stop?
Yeah. Shop and Stop. I guess they're not. I guess it's only a Long Island thing. I don't know.
Shop and Stop?
Shop and Stop.
It's Stop and Shop.
Oh. Is it?
Unless I completely got it wrong.
No, you're probably right.
I'm pretty sure it's you stop and you shop.
Stop and stop. Stop and shop. Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
It's never like confirm. Right shop. We can call it right shop.
Right shop. Now I need to know.
Google it. Anyway, my whole point is that they're attempting to increase the prices incrementally and attempting to get us based on what we think we can't live without, right? But I can live without chips. If I have to, as much as it was National Chip Day and it gave me a pang, I didn't have any chips on Thursday, but now I need chips. Can we potentially pool all of our money for a $1.25 bag of Vicky's chips out of the vending machine so we can say we participated in National Chip Day?
I believe there's jalapeno in there and sea salt and vinegar.
All right.
Those are our options.
That's it?
I think that's it.
There's racks without snacks?
Yep.
Are there any racks with snacks?
Those are the remainings. Maybe in the other room.
We're going to have to check all the vending machines. Don't we have four on this floor?
Four, yeah. Huh. All of them accept different types of currency.
I was going to say, it's true. Some are cards only. Some are coins only.
Some
one's cash only.
Coins, yeah.
Only a Susan B. Anthony dollar. Yep. Only pennies. Okay, I need some chips now. That's what I'm needing.
It is Stop
I don't
and
suppose,
Shop, by the way.
I don't suppose Uber Eats does chips.
Oh, they do, actually.
They just deliver chips.
Yeah, you can. It'll probably cost like $35. But
for a bag of chips?
Uber Eats, yeah, these days. But
never
yeah,
mind.
They could stop at
just,
like a CVS or something for you.
Oh, no. I could have just purchased the $5 bag of Tostitos Hint of Lime, but I refuse. There are some things that I will go all out for, but here are two things I cannot do. I cannot buy a foo-foo coffee for $7 when you get 7 ounces of coffee, and I cannot buy a $5 bag of chips that is smaller than it was a month ago. I'm with you, Jay. And I will not go to Shop and Stop for either one of those things.
No, can't.
All right.
Doesn't exist.
So we do need some chips, though. I don't think goldfish count as chips, and that's all I had.
No, that's like a baked snack.
Do they have their own category? Baked
snack.
Yeah,
I think it says it on the thing, actually.
Racks with snacks. So let's see what kind of racks have snacks in our vending machines and reconvene. And then we'll get into some of the hoops.
Ready break.
Ready break. But again, the Celtics clinch a playoff spot. It's friggin' March 15th on Friday, and they've already clinched a playoff spot. It's like 2 weeks before Easter, and they've already clinched a playoff spot. And then a little bit of the college hoops. Derrick Henry speaking for the first time in purple. Maybe it doesn't hurt Titans fans, but I can imagine it hurts the rest of the AFC North. We've got other introductions on Thursday. Saquon Barkley in Philadelphia green. Aaron Jones also in purple, but a different kind of purple. Man, we got running backs everywhere. Does anyone want to hear from Mac Jones? Or is he yesterday's news? It's hard to believe he was a first-round draft pick at number 15 overall. We probably could actually tell you what he's going to say before he says it.
As long as they're food.
He does like chips. National Chip Day. It's not too late to partake. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We're glad to have you with us. Happy almost Friday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Derek White throws his head back. He runs into two guys, knocks him over as he hands to Jaylen Brown for a corner three. There could have been four different whistles on that play. They just let him play all the way through it with bodies flying everywhere. And it ends up with Jaylen's fourth three of the night. Beal drives, stripped to the ball. Holiday reached in, got another one. Help from Al Horford there. Holiday pulls up, shoots the three. What a killer sequence for the Suns.
Technical.
Frank Vogel is furious. Jalen deep on the left side against Royce O'Neal. Start and stop, falls down. Forces it from the free throw line and hits it. An impossible shot. Jalen Brown falling down, gathered himself, and hit from the free throw line.
He hit that shot even sideways.
Confidence is oozing out of his pores right now. He's got 32. And we're about to go into 3 minutes. Jalen jumps the pass. Oh! The steal. Flies over Grayson Allen and cuffs it with the right hand.
God.
Jalen Brown has come flying out of All-Star Weekend and is not to be trifled with.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jalen Brown with another 37 points for the Boston Celtics, and they pull away from the Suns primarily in the early stages of the second half, but also shooting the lights out from downtown. So if you combine Jalen Brown and Jason Tatum, 63 points for the two of them. What are you, Anthony Davis and LeBron James? The two of them with 63 points total, but they also tie their season high with 25 shots made from beyond the arc. So big deal for the Celtics as they become the first team, at the expense of the Suns, they become the first team to clinch a playoff spot this, dare I say, spring? I know season is probably more appropriate, but it's almost spring. This spring, the playoffs will commence. Yeah, Jalen goes 5 of 9 from downtown. Jason Tatum, 4 of 8 from beyond the arc. How about Al Horford, 6 of 10? And so these guys are, when they play like this, these guys are formidable. We know that on the offensive end. Certainly a team on a mission. And Jalen Brown taking it personally. Remember how he did poorly in last year's playoffs, right? At the end when they needed him, he had a couple of games with some really bad turnovers. A lot of people wondering whether or not the Celtics should keep him.
It's a quote that I like. When things don't go your way, when you don't get what you want, what you got was experience. And I love that quote. And I think that, you know, we've had losses, we've had embarrassment, we've had mistakes. And, you know, I've used it all to just improve.
Definitely has. So what's the secret behind the groove that he's in right now?
I just feel like I improved on a lot of the stuff that I needed to work on. I just improved my mentality, but just attack my weaknesses. And I feel like some of the stuff that, you know, you could say about me last year, you can't say about me this year. So I'm excited to go into the playoffs and keep it going and prove the same thing.
Wants to get better, make every attempt to see the season end in a different way. And you can tell his kind of quiet motivation. He doesn't toot his own horn. I love to watch him play. He and Jason Tatum have developed this incredible rapport, but a lot of pieces around them have changed, right? No more Marcus Smart. He's gone. They bring in Drew Holiday. The moves that Brad Stevens has made in the front office as opposed to on the bench, other than hiring Ime Udoka, which isn't on Brad, but they've worked out. They've moved the Celtics closer, but they've had some real painful playoff exits, as Jalen talks about. As for Al Horford, he is one of those old grizzled veterans. Every now and then he'll get hot from three like he did on this night, but a lot of what he was focused on, the defense of Kevin Durant, and KD had just 5 points after the opening quarter.
I don't know how we did it. He torched us, you know, just 4 games ago. So, credit to, you know, JT, you know, JB, Drew, the guys that were guarding him, you know, really just made it tough on him. I don't know that. That's impressive.
That's just the name of the game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
In today's league, that you can't just give them extra shots at the basket. You can't just give any team 53s. They're gonna have a, they're gonna just out math you at that point. I think they just know the numbers and they just beat us at math. Shoot more threes, and if you hot that night, you gonna have a big win.
I just hate that mentality, and I know this is not exactly what KD was saying, but this is one of the reasons why I can't get geeked up day after day about today's NBA. Because the idea that if you have a really hot day from beyond the arc and you shoot, gosh, sometimes 60, 70 threes and you make 50% of them, well, yeah, you're likely to win. But I don't find that entertaining. Just chuck and duck, I don't find it entertaining at all. And I don't need it to be an inside-out game necessarily, but a mid-range jumper every now and then would be okay. A drive to the hoop would be okay, and not every team does that. And I know, again, Kevin Durant wasn't saying that exact thing, like, hey, we're just going to stand outside and chuck threes. But that does seem to be the mentality, and it is a weapon, and those teams that make more of them on any given night are likely, at the very least, to have a leg up. And the Celtics go 25 of 50 from downtown. I mean, that's an incredible ratio, 25 of 50. The Suns don't shoot nearly as well. They make 14 fewer threes, so that's really the point that KD is making. But I don't like this kind of basketball. It doesn't seem like there's much strategy to it at times, whatever team James Harden is on. There's just not much strategy to standing outside the perimeter, putting four guys outside the perimeter, spreading out your offense, which is actually what it's called, a spread offense, and just pass it around. And the first guy who's open, and sometimes you don't even have to be open. Just chuck the three.
You see teams on guys on fast breaks now. It'll be a 2-on-1, 3-on-1. They'll go right to the, like they're doing a layup, and normal like you should do on an odd man rush fast break, and kick it to the outside because that's a better shot now, or that's a higher percent. I don't know. It's not a higher percentage, but that, they think that's a better shot in today's NBA. Yeah, so you have the open layup, and you just kick it out.
Yeah. Not everybody is a Steph Curry, obviously, and there are a lot of really great shooters in the league. I just don't find it entertaining or something that come playoffs is going to lend itself to anything other than what we've seen the last couple years, which is blowout, 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 blowout. And last year, if I remember correctly, we only got a couple of game sevens, right? Most of the series were over relatively early. Now in the conference finals, at least I have to go back and look it up. We did get some compelling Eastern Conference series. Marco Belletti is here in studio. But for the most part, it felt like one team would have a blowout, then the other team would have a blowout, then the other team would have a blowout. A lot of it would depend on which team was shooting hot at the time from beyond the arc.
That sounds like the Warrior-Kings series.
Yeah, it's just...
Went seven.
It did go
seven.
But
every game was, you know, lopsided.
Well, except for game seven. Game seven, I thought, was a good one.
Yeah, and if the Celtics win, the Heat went seven. That's about it. I think everything else, I mean...
Right, that was the when the Heat were up. What, three games to none,
right.
And the Celtics came back and won three. But yeah, wasn't game seven just god-awful?
Yes.
Meaning not competitive at all.
Yes.
My best friend, it was a milestone birthday for her, and she and her boys were at that game seven, and she said it was the loudest arena she'd ever been in, and she takes them to a lot of sporting events, and it turned into a massive dud for Celtics fans. Remember, Miami ran away with it, ended
third
up winning
quarter,
by...
Right?
I think it was earlier than that. But anyway, Miami ran away with it, ended up winning by 20. Mm-hmm. In the second half, I thought the second half wasn't competitive. I'd have to go back and look. But
again, watching it, no. I remember it being one-sided. Exactly when it got out of hand and how exactly it was, no. And I don't think either team shot all that well. I feel like the Celtics could make a bucket.
Well, Miami wants to make their opponents look super ugly. And so it was a long series, but it it felt like a lot of... And then on the other side, we had Denver and L.A. that was a sweep, right? And so Denver went on and played Miami. Was it a five-game series? Yeah. But even going back to some of the earlier rounds, it seemed like a lot of what we ended up with was just one team gets hot from three, buries the other one. Then it's the other team's turn. Just, eh.
That's the new game.
No, I don't like it. Well, new. It's been around for now for a few years.
Yeah, but. I mean, look, you're going to take more threes. If one team gets hot, you're going to have a chance to run away with it. I think the thing that teams do a little bit more now, not so much in the playoffs, but in general in the regular season, is when you know it's not your night, all right, let's pack it up.
Exactly. Exactly. We don't got it tonight, so we'll just move on.
Let's try the run 2 minutes of the fourth quarter. Doesn't work. All right.
Yeah.
Let's sit down, everybody. What do we got? Tomorrow? Or we got a couple of days off? Where we headed?
Yeah.
Let's pack the bags. Let's get going. And look, yeah. I get it. We don't have to like it, but it makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. I mean, you got guys that are, you know, you want to complain about it all you want. They're grinding on a nightly basis. If they know that the outcome is not in jeopardy, it's enough. It's enough. Save it. We got another game. Save it.
Yeah.
We can put our nose up to it all we want.
But I don't. Mean, that's no, just no, the, I'm not doing that. Play. I just don't enjoy, first of all, games in which 150 points are scored by one team. That's not my cup of tea. And second, I don't enjoy this type of style where it's not competitive a lot of the times, and I don't think it lends itself to really compelling, even if you do have a game seven, which we didn't have a bunch of them last year, but even if you do and it's blowout after blowout, I mean, yeah. What's the point of watching? You watch the first quarter and then you're good.
Nobody likes blowouts, so that's obvious. I think the game itself, like, as long as the game is played well, I'm big on as long as it's not sloppy. I don't mind if you're scoring a lot of points, if you're getting good shots and you're knocking them down. I don't like when it's constant turnovers leading to easy buckets and you're just sloppy as hell. Like, there's different ways that you can get to it. You can have good defense and it's not as many points scored, or you just can't shoot worth a damn, and I don't want to watch that because you're scoring 70 points because you suck. So there's a difference between, like, how the game is played. So to me, it's always just the game itself, and, you know, what, it's not really the style, it's whether you're playing and you're executing. That's more of it for me. So I can adapt to, you know, the 90s stuff with, like, the Knicks and the Heat. That was fun at the time. Do I really want to go back to that? Not necessarily, because there was a lot of just bad shot making. The defense was good. There was also guys wide open at times that couldn't knock down a shot if you gave them 10 chances.
I will say this. When it's a lot of shooting threes, you tend to, not always, but have fewer free throws, and I'm down for that. If the game's going to be like that, might as well just go on through and not have a ton of free throws and stop the play.
Right, and again, there's a lot of teams that can go up and down, that can knock down good shots, and they're not chucking. They're not threes where you're, you know, you're off balance or whatever. You get a good shot, you get a good look, it's 4 or 5 seconds into the shot clock and you knock it down. Fine. As long as you're executing the game properly, you're taking good shots. They don't always have to go in. I almost feel like a coach. They don't have to go in, but it's got to be a good shot. If you're off balance and you can't see the basket, don't shoot.
You're not Steph Curry. Well, exactly.
It's not just Steph Curry, because there are guys that can do that, but nobody's going to hit off balance, fall away three. When the shot clock's winding down, you leave that for that. That's not when we got 18 on the clock, move the ball. Move the ball.
Coming up, a little bit of the college hoops, where, yes, they do still love the three. UNC is cruising at the ACC, but Duke runs into a buzzsaw and maybe doesn't take it quite as seriously. And then we'll head to Washington, D.C. at the top of the hour. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. On our Facebook page, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It wasn't just National Chip Day. It was Happy Pie Day on Thursday. I actually sent a gif to my family, our family group chat. And my niece responded, "What a cute pie. I love Pie Day." But except her phone autocorrected to Die Day. "I love Die Day." Oh. She's such a dork. Takes after her auntie. Here's our latest sports update.
I like pie.
I love Die Day.
You are listening to the...
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
After Hours Podcast.
offensive rebound. Loses it. Ryan can't finish. Ingram out of there with it. Still 14 on the shot clock. Ingram shoots. He can't score. Bacon has it again. Put it in, big fella. The possession lasted as long as Congress has been in session.
Pressure from Florida State. Carolina is able to get it into Ingram, who quickly hands to Cadeau. So Florida State has the lead now. It's Cadeau. Eurostep leads it to Washington, who lays it over the left side of the rim. Carolina with the ball. Trimble looking inside from the left wing. Washington didn't have position, so he'll ease it out to R.J. Davis. Davis, crossover, gets by his defender. Little push shot over a couple of towers from Florida State, goes home.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Tar Heels are exactly where they want to be. That's the call, montage of calls from the ACC quarterfinals between the Tar Heels and the Seminoles of Florida State on Learfield IMG. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Not OMG. That would be something completely different. Learfield IMG. And consistency for North Carolina. 46 points in each half. And so they're able to run away with this one in the end. And I love the rebounding. You know, I tell you, haven't said it in a while, but it's worth repeating. Offensive rebounds are sexy, baby. And they out-rebound the Noles 48-22, but 17 of those boards are on the offensive end. And if you were watching this game, maybe you saw late in the first half. I mean, this is so demoralizing for a team. But late in the first half, they grab four offensive rebounds on the same possession. So not only has Florida State worked its rear end off for a defensive defensive stop to try to get one. The shot is no good, and then they give up four offensive rebounds after that.
Those inspiring offensive rebounds.
You see what I'm talking about? It's not just me. Armando Bacot, they definitely leaned in on their strengths. They definitely used what their mamas gave them. Well, not just that, but what has got them to this point in the tournament.
We knew coming into the game that they were 14th in terms of allowing offensive rebounds, and we were number one or two, one or the other. So we knew we had an advantage on the boards, and I think Harry early on, just how he was on the boards, it really pushed me, Jay Wash, and all of us to even get more. And you talk about that last play. That was a lot of fun, just all of us just getting rebounds and keeping the ball alive. It was a ton of fun.
Just really proud of the guys. You know, at the beginning, you know, we talked about what it'll allow us to have success against a really good Florida State team, and we needed to get after it defensively. We needed to rebound the basketball, and we also talked about doing a better job of making the easy play and limiting turnovers, because the last time we played them, we had 17 turnovers, and I feel like that we definitely check two of the boxes. Just their effort, energy, attention to detail defensively was good. And for us to dominate the boards on both ends, I thought that was a huge key for us.
Hubert Davis, head coach of North Carolina, and coming up at the top of the hour from the ACC tournament in Washington, D.C., we'll talk about not just North Carolina and its six consecutive wins now, looking for a top seed come Sunday and the March Madness bracket reveal, but it also really stood out to me how balanced the Heels were. Their leading scorer, R.J. Davis, 18 points. He didn't even have to go over 20 for them to be able to pull away. And yes, it does help that you get twice as many shots as your opponent because your offensive rebounds are an incredible weapon. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. We will not get North Carolina Duke in the ACC championship because NC State trying to work its way into an automatic bid, right? So need an automatic bid, meaning have to win the tournament to get into the NCAA bracket more than likely. But now with 3 wins in 3 days, they've got great momentum, and they take out the Blue Devils. Kyle Filipowski, he fouls out late in this one. I think it was, it was about 15 seconds, maybe 20 seconds to go in the game, I think. Don't quote me on that. But he does finish up with a double-double, but without him, they struggled to get the inside shots, of course, and then had to foul against NC State. And even though the Wolfpack had missed a bunch of free throws, they were able to make it when they had to. And this is a big deal for Kevin Keats and his club.
When we got on that plane,
We had a mission, okay? And we said we're going to do it one game at a time, okay? You have put together three hell of a games, okay, against really good teams, okay? And you know why? Because you're a good team. You're starting to believe. Very good job, okay? We're going to celebrate everyone because that's what we do, okay? Now we move on to the next one, okay? Our job's not done, okay? We came and we said we were going to do it one game at a time, one half at a time, every 4 minute segments at a time, okay? Got another one, okay? You got another one. You survive in advance. That's what you do. Get out of here. Here we go. Together.
The locker room speech for the head coach of the Wolfpack, and they're into the semifinals against UVA, Virginia. It's funny because we were just talking to Marco at the bottom of the hour before the update about the type of basketball that is a slugfest. I think a little bit about Miami during the NBA championship run, or getting into the NBA Finals, and how they want to make every opponent have to work so hard, not just for shots, but for points. And at times, it can be slugfest. It can be slow and methodical, almost painful to watch if what you love is chuck and duck and up and down the court and 150 points. Well, Virginia, that's the Tony Bennett style, is defense, 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 and grind it out and try to wear out your opponent, but also make every shot for your opponent tough. Except Virginia doesn't have much of an offense, hasn't really shown much of an offense. And so for them, while they're into the semifinals after an overtime win against Boston College, it's maybe the kind of basketball that Marco was talking about, not enjoyable to watch. We'll see. To each his own. I say winning, however you can do it, that's a good thing. But the way that Virginia plays often leaves them vulnerable. As for Duke, I mean, Kyle Filipowski not happy with the fact that they lost and has a reason why.
As you say, wanted it more than us. I think that was kind of the biggest thing. You know, this postseason, I mean, just speaking back to Tennessee last year, they wanted it more than us, and these teams are so different in the postseason, and, you know, you're not going to – I mean, we do get everyone's best shot in the regular season anyways, but there's still another level to it in the postseason, and we got to learn. We got to be one of those teams.
To me, that's a major issue, and I would say at any point when your star player comes out with they wanted it more than us, that's a problem. But when it's March and they want it more than you, that's a much bigger challenge. And this is why I don't love it. First of all, the Blue Devils lost their last regular season game. That was against North Carolina. It's always the season finale. But then, after having a couple days off, they get the bye into the quarterfinals. They come out flat. And their opponent has more energy, more intensity, more enthusiasm, more everything. Now, Duke did manage to get within striking distance. So had a couple of shots at the end. It was a one possession game. And there was this weird moment again, not sure if you were watching it, but late, one of the NC State players had a dunk, or I guess he missed a dunk, but he had a shot at a dunk. And instead of getting up there, doing his business, and getting back to playing defense or going for an offensive rebound, whatever, he hangs on the rim. And it turns into a technical foul for Duke. And it kind of, to me, that was really the only reason why it was close at the end. It kind of stalled the Wolfpack for a second. The missed free throws, again, hurt NC State, but then Filipowski fouling out felt like the final nail. I just don't love that Duke didn't come out with a greater sense of urgency considering the way the regular season ended. It's not like they're not going to make the tournament. The Blue Devils will still be in. But I don't love that in 2 weeks of play, you have two losses, and that's pretty much it. I think it affects the locker room. It can affect the confidence. But that's March, and that's college basketball, and there are a lot of people who are rooting against Duke. You gotta love them or hate them, right? We'll head to D.C. next. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.